we start the program? All right. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Glad to see y'all could make it. Don't forget, while the program is in session tonight, to go to the NovaMRadio.com chat room. Just go to that website and enter your password and username and so on and so forth. Our chief information officer, Billy Foster, is lurking in there waiting for you. I don't know. Is he giving away prizes in there tonight? Huh? You don't know? I don't know either. If nothing else, maybe he'll have a beer with you. we have weirdness. Like the dude, abides. Weirdness abides. Did you see the story? A woman named Monica Emerson and her 19-month-old toddler at Reagan National Airport. This is a security story to end all security stories. You've got to hear this. On June 11th, a couple days ago, she was traveling. This woman, Monica Emerson. Now, she's a former law enforcement officer with the U.S. Secret Service. Okay? Keep that in your mind. Former law enforcement officer with the U.S. Secret Service, Monica Emerson. She was in Reagan National Airport on June 11th, traveling with her 19-month-old toddler, cute little boy. The incident, let's call it, started when Miss Emerson, who, by the way, left the Secret Service to raise a family, mom, let's call her mom because this is about her son's sippy cup. Mom was stopped while going through airport security because there was water in her son's sippy cup. You know what a sippy cup is? It's got that little spout on it for kids. The sippy cup was seized by the TSA, Transportation Security Administration. Monica wanted the cup back because the sippy cup was the only way her kid would drink, and it was a long flight between Washington, D.C. and Reno, Nevada, where she was going for a family reunion. Now, if you've ever had a toddler, you understand about sippy cups. We didn't use one because Kathy says, since her mother's a speech therapist, that it can give your child a lisp. But we bought a couple, and then we said, nah, let's give her the little cup with the straw, which has given her a worse lisp. So mom is stopped, 19-month-old kid, little water in the sippy cup, and the TSA seizes the sippy cup. And they want to know, okay, what's this? Monica said she was willing to spill the water out, drink the water, anything. All she wanted to do was be able to have the cup that her 19-month-old toddler could drink from. Now, this seems very simple, doesn't it? A very simple situation. But working for the TSA are cretins, morons, idiots, and they're charged with security. Oh, my God. Here's what happened in Monica Emerson's words. I demanded to speak to a TSA supervisor who asked me if the water in the sippy cup was nursery water or other bottled water. I explained that the sippy cup water was filtered tap water. The sippy cup was then seized as my son, 19 months old, was pointing and crying for his cup. I asked if I could drink the water to get the cup back and was advised that I would have to leave security and come back through with an empty cup in order to retain the cup. As I was escorted out of the security area by TSA and a police officer, I unscrewed the cup to drink the water, which accidentally spilled because I was so upset with the situation. At this point, I was detained against my will by the police officer and threatened to be arrested for endangering other passengers with the spilled 3 to 4 ounces of filtered tap water. I was ordered to clean the water. So I got on my hands and knees while my son sat in his stroller with no shoes on, since they were also screened, and I had no time to put them back on his feet. I asked to call back my fiancé, who I could still see from afar, waiting for us to clear security, to watch my son while I was being detained, and the officer threatened to arrest me if I moved. So I yelled past security to get the attention of my fiancé. I was ordered to apologize for the spilled water and again threatened with arrest. I was threatened several times with arrest while detained, and while three other police officers were called to the scene of the mother with the 19-month-old kid. A total of four police officers and three Transportation Security Administration officers reported to the scene where I was being held against my will. I was also told that I should not disrespect the officer and could be arrested for this too. I apologized to the officer, and she continued to detain me despite my telling her that I would miss my flight. The officer said I should have thought about this before I, quote, intentionally spilled the water, end quote. Monica said that the incident ended this way. I missed my flight, needless to say, after being detained for over 40 minutes. After the officer was done humiliating me, I was advised that I could go through the security checkpoint in an attempt to catch my flight. The officer insisted that my son and I be rescreened, despite us both being detained and under her control the entire time. End quote. I wish I could still cuss on the air, but I've told myself I don't want to do that. During the weeks and months after 9/11, some passengers who were caught with unidentified fluids while going through airport security were told to drink the liquid, including breast milk, to prove that it wasn't an explosive. In one incident, a 14-year-old boy was ordered to drink water that he was carrying, and it turned out that this was uncleaned pond water he was carrying for his science project. Monica Emerson was more than happy to drink her child's tap water, all 3 or 4 ounces of it, and tried, in fact. But it was the trying and spilling that seems to have escalated this into a situation that required the presence of 4 TSA officers and 3 police officers. TSA found no other security problems with Monica Emerson, not even a nail clipper, just the water and the sippy cup. TSA's rules allow passengers to take up to 3 ounces of liquid on board. They also allow parents to take milk or baby formula on board in larger quantities than that if declared to TSA. But the question that she was asked by TSA, was this nursery water in the sippy cup, was an unanswerable one, since there's no such thing as nursery water in the TSA regulations, and it's not a generic term. Monica Emerson was detained for 45 minutes. She wasn't questioned about possible ties to terrorists. Her carry-on items weren't rigorously searched or even searched again. Neither the police nor TSA took any action that indicated that they thought she might be a security risk. She was just detained, harassed, and threatened with arrest. All because of a sippy cup with water in it. I run into these people every day. Oh, not Miss Emerson. No. I run into these brain-dead geeks every single day. Transportation Security Administration? Oh, that's right. This is part of Homeland Security. Oh, that's right. This is run by, what's his name? The vampire guy. What's his name? Chertoff of the vampire. Of the devil. I'm sorry. He just looks like a vampire. Astonishing. This is the Bush administration for you. The TSA is, I think I read, the largest bureaucracy set up. Well, it's folded into the largest bureaucracy set up since Roosevelt. And that would be the Department of Homeland Security. Do you feel secure? Thank God there were 7 various officers on hand to protect the people on that flight from Monica Emerson's 19-month-old little boy's water. I'll think of you. Every song I sing, well, I'll sing for you. When I come home, I'll bring your friendship ring. So kiss me and smile. Fly and enjoy America's great destination spots. Get down to Disney World in Florida. Let me go. Back again, feeling I'll see you in my dreams.
time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer. More Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. So this federal judge, U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton, who presided over the Louis Libby perjury and obstruction case, and Judge Walton, by the way, is a Bush appointee. He said today he will not delay this 2.5-year prison sentence that Mr. Libby got for his role in the CIA leak case. And that with any luck, my word, luck, this thug will be in prison within weeks. Reggie Walton's decision, obviously, is going to cause, and this is fair enough, cause Libby's attorneys to rush to an appeals court to try to block the sentence. And could force chucklenuts in the White House to consider calls from Libby's supporters to pardon him. Now, you'll remember, of course, I'm sure it's still fresh in our minds, he was convicted in March of lying to investigators for the special prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, and obstructing Fitzgerald's inquiry into the leak of the CIA operative's identity, yada, 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 yada. Libby supporters, and apparently they are legion. They're in the military, they are in religious organizations, they're in government. They're all right-wing Republican neo-fascists or corporatists, but they're all chanting and stamping their feet for Bush to wipe away the convictions. You know, Bush is Jesus Christ's brother, apparently, so all Bush has to do is wipe them away. Now, Bush, being the coward and the sneak and the liar that he is, has sidestepped these questions about a pardon, saying, I want to see the legal case play out. White House spokeswoman Dana Too Much Cappuccino Perino says that Bush will continue not to intervene. She said, quote, the president feels terribly for Scooter, his wife and their young children, and that's all they're, and everything they're going through, because the president feels terribly for Scooter, you know, his wife and their young children and everybody, because of what they're going through. But, you know, am I talking fast enough? What they're going through? What are they going through? What they went through, the wife and the kids, is seeing their husband, father, brought up on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice. I wonder if Dana Perino, I don't know what she was doing 7 years ago, but maybe she was still in high school back then, but I wonder if she were as concerned for Hillary Clinton and Chelsea when their husband father was going through what he was going through. Oh, never mind. The president feels terribly for Scooter, his wife and their young children, all they're going through. What they're going through, Dana, is watching their husband, their father, being tried and being given the best defense money can buy. Oh, my God. He is Dick Cheney's gopher. Or Dick Cheney is Libby's gopher, one of the two. Maybe it's mutual gopherism. But the best possible defense money could buy, Dana. Top-notch lawyers. The possibility of a pardon out there. So what do you suppose his family's going through? Well, at least they know that a jury has decided that their husband, their father, is a damn liar, a perjurer, and an obstructor of justice. That must be rough on the family. I agree, Too Much Cappuccino Perino. That must be rough on the family, all that they're going through, knowing that the man who is supposed to be there to take care of them, because I'm sure this is a traditional Republican conservative family, the man who is charged with taking care of them and protecting them and being a good man is a liar and a cheat and a perjurer and obstructs justice. Oh, and also lies a country into war and advocates for mass bombings and now wants to go for another country and is responsible, along with the rest of the Bush crime family, for hundreds of thousands of deaths. That must be difficult, Dana, for the wife and the children. Verily. So Libby is the highest ranking thug, government official thug ordered to prison since the Iran-Contra affair. And if you remember, Pappy Bush pardoned a whole slew of those bastards. Libby says he wants to be left out while he appeals because he's got a good chance of persuading an appeals court to overturn everything. Because when Attorney General John Ashcroft recused himself from the leak investigation, he gave Fitzgerald unconstitutional and unchecked authority. No, 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 Libby. That's what was given to Ken Starr. It's going to be hell if you have a cellmate named Brutus. Trust me on that.
Primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Isn't that from Pulp Fiction?
Hey, little sister, what
I think that's from the Pulp
done?
Fiction soundtrack, isn't it? No?
Hey, little sister, who's the only one?
When Libby's attorneys gets his useless, worthless ass before the appeals court, the appeals court for the District of Columbia Circuit has what is referred to, or what are referred to, as several conservative jurists. And the speculation is because they're conservatives, they may give this criminal, this convicted felon, a pass. Well, we'll see, won't we? We will see what these law and order freakoid conservatives on the D.C. Court of Appeals, what they say. That'll be fun, huh? Oh, and by the way, once Judge Reggie Walton sentenced Irving and ordered no freedom during the appeals process, guess what? He has been receiving threatening letters and phone calls. Judge Reggie Walton, according to the Associated Press, said, quote, I received a number of angry, harassing phone calls and letters. Some of those were wishing bad things on me and my family. End quote. He said he was holding on to the letters in case something happened. Oh, my God. Well, now, who do you suppose are making the threats to a George W. Bush-appointed conservative judge who sentenced this rat bastard warmonger to 30 stinking months in jail? If you're guessing, Republicans, conservatives, right-wingers, neo-fascists, you win. In other words, maybe your neighbor.
If some bitch will come over and kill you if you don't let him go.
Man, is General David Petraeus insane? I'm serious. I'm not trying to be smart alecky here. Is he insane? He had an interview with USA Today newspaper yesterday, and he said that he sees, quote, astonishing signs of normalcy, end quote, in Baghdad. Astonishing signs of normalcy. He also said, quote, I'm talking about professional soccer leagues with real grass field stadiums, several amusement parks, big ones, markets that are very vibrant. The Iraqi army has in general done quite well in the face of some really serious challenges, end quote. What? Petraeus painted a similarly rosy picture of progress in Iraq last week when he declared on CNN that, quote, what is taking place in Anbar province is almost breathtaking, end quote. And yet a report released yesterday by the Pentagon directly contradicts Petraeus' assessments. The report said violence has increased in most provinces, particularly in the outlying areas of Baghdad province and Diyala and Nineveh provinces. In Diyala's restive capital of Baqaba, U.S. and Iraqi forces have been unable to diminish rising sectarian violence, contributing to the volatile security situation. The report cited significant evidence of attacks on Sunni Arabs by the predominantly Shia government security forces, which have contributed to the displacement of an estimated 2 million Iraqis from their homes. It's just unbelievable.
Amusement parks?
Yeah, amusement parks and real grass field stadiums for soccer leagues.
Well, what kind of amusement parks do they have in Iraq?
That's where you go and they chop off your head.
Was it Dodge the Landmine?
No, it's a head chopping amusement park. And as the blogger said at Think Progress, Petraeus' unrealistic and misleading talk of professional soccer leagues and markets that are very vibrant mirrors the rhetoric of John McCain, who recently claimed that strolling through an Iraqi market with an escort of 100 soldiers, three Black Hawk helicopters, two Apache gunships proved that one could walk freely in areas of Baghdad. Oh, and in addition, Marwan Jaafar, a prominent Iraqi soccer player, was killed in a mortar attack last month. And 21 Iraqis who worked in the Baghdad market visited by McCain were ambushed, bound, and shot dead the day after he left. Is David Petraeus insane? He's already got his fourth star. They can't take that away from him. There's not going to be any more five-star generals, not since, who was the last one, Eisenhower, or was it MacArthur? So if there's no place left for Petraeus to go in his military career, then why is he saying what he's saying? Well, because he's insane. And I love this one. I don't know how many of you contribute to Amnesty International. I do. I have an Amnesty bumper sticker on my truck. I've been contributing to Amnesty for a long time, not a lot, because I've never been able to afford a lot. Back in the 80s, I used to write the letters that they would send me directed to the governments that were holding prisoners of conscience in Yugoslavia, in China, in Vietnam, in Cambodia. And I remember thinking, I wonder if these letters do any good. And maybe a few months later, I would find out that the prisoners that were on the list that Amnesty would send to all of their contributors, that some of those prisoners were in fact being released. I believe in what Amnesty International does. The Roman Catholic Church does not. A cardinal in the Vatican calls on Catholics to stop making contributions to Amnesty International. Stop donating to the human rights group Amnesty International, because its new policy, AI's new policy, which advocates abortion rights for women if they have been raped, if they are a victim of incest that results in a pregnancy, or if they are facing health risks. That's too much for the Catholic Church. Cardinal Renato Martino, president of the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, accused Amnesty of turning its back on its mission to defend human rights. Now, Amnesty International changed up to this point, it's had a neutral stance on abortion. They weren't for it, they weren't against it. They weren't interested. They've worked on human rights. But its Italian chairman, Paolo Poviati, insisted this new position has been misinterpreted by the cardinal. Mr. Poviati said, quote, "This has nothing to do with legitimizing abortion as part of a campaign for human rights. It is to do with combating violence against women." He went on to say it was partly inspired by our experience in Africa, where soldiers rape women in communities they attack to force them to have their children. We also believe women who have had abortions should benefit from medical care regardless of the reason for the abortion. Moreover, we aim to promote education and contraception to reduce abortion rates. And then it, he added in a written statement, Amnesty International does not take a position on whether abortion should be legal or whether it is right or wrong. But Cardinal Martino, he says abortion is murder. To selectively justify abortion, even in the cases of rape, is to define the innocent child within the womb as an enemy, a thing that must be destroyed. How can we say that killing a child in some cases is good and in other cases it is evil? I there's no point in getting involved in this in a spitting contest between the Catholic, the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and who has never been in favor overall of human rights. They have been in favor of everybody just shutting up. You'll get your reward after you're dead. Just say your do your rosaries, do your confessions, make sure you contribute to the church, and you'll get your reward when you're dead. If you're suffering, if your children are dying, if your husband is macheted to death, that's God's will. That's just God's will. Have as many children as you can. Watch them all starve to death because you live in a country where you can't feed yourselves. But that's God's will. That's God's will. That's the great spook in the skies' will. Do it, you see. So there's no point trying to explain to anyone, not to anyone, certainly not a cardinal, that a fetus is not a child. A fetus is a fetus. Oh, well. In a statement released in Italy, Amnesty stated it did not receive funding from the Vatican or the Catholic Church. Amnesty also declines support from government and political parties. But Mr. Pobiati admitted that the fallout for funding could be serious if individual Catholics heed Cardinal Martino's advice. Mr. Pobiati said, quote, this could be a danger to donations and we are extremely upset about these statements, end quote. Now, this could get a little tacky because Amnesty works with Catholic organizations. Yeah, they do. Pobiati said, quote, we mount joint campaigns with organizations like Caritas and the community of Sant'Egidio against the death penalty and against child soldiers and in favor of arms control. We sincerely hope Catholics will not share Cardinal Martino's views on funding, end quote.
A Catholic, the moment that came, because every sperm is sacred, every sperm is great, if a sperm is wasted, God gets quite irate.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
It is 10 before the hour. I asked the other night about what would happen if Harriet Myers and Sarah, whomever, the two people who have been served now on Bush's staff or former staffers with subpoenas, what would happen if they ignore the subpoenas? Does it go to the Supreme Court? Does it, you know, what happens? I honestly forget what the deal was in the... Well, the deal in Watergate, a judge had ordered Nixon to release the tapes, and he refused to. So that went to, you know, obviously that goes to the Supreme Court because the federal judge ordered it. This is not a federal judge. This is a subpoena, a demand from Congress, from the House and the Senate. So what happens if these two thugs and the rogue thug ignores the subpoenas? What can happen? Well, they can be charged with contempt of Congress. So what? Congress, I don't think, has any authority to jail people. I honestly don't know. But Kathy in Green Bay sent this to me. Congress has another option to enforce their subpoenas. They can order the Capitol Security to arrest the individual who refuses to comply with the subpoenas and lock him or her in the basement of the Capitol building. Yeah, well, that's Kathy wouldn't lie to me. Oh, my God. But the only problem with that, Kathy, is neither one of these former Bush crime family consiglieres work in the anywhere near there anymore. They're all over on K Street as lobbyists now, I guess. The Capitol Security, that would be the, I think that's Uniform Secret Service, can arrest the individual and lock him in the basement. Oh, my God. This is just so bizarre. This is United States of America. This is not some idiotic little country where people are running around with machetes or, you know, pith helmets or whatever, you know, burning things. You know, this is the United States of America. And I now have stuck in my head the image of someone refusing a congressional subpoena in the Bush crime family being locked in the basement. Where did they put this person? Is there a room down there that says this is where we lock up White House staffers who refuse to comply with subpoenas?
It's probably Cheney's secret bat cave, undisclosed location.
This is insane. This is government with Bush. With all the craziness that goes on, with all the obscenity that goes on, there's this. You know, can you see the Capitol Security running through the halls under in the basement of the White House, chasing Harriet Myers? Come back here! No, no! Come back here right now! No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want your subpoena. No, 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 no. All right. We got time for a phone call, Kathy? Let's do a phone call, and let's start with Joe. Joe's calling from Miami. Hey, Joe.
Mike.
Joe.
Yes, I'm a little bit nervous. I've never really called a show before.
Uh-oh.
I was calling about the TSA screening.
Yeah?
It's not just them. It's also the private security guard companies that do, like, courthouses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
These people are brain-dead morons. I was not here in Miami, but I was in another town. Uh-huh. I got called in for jury duty. I'm also visually impaired. I have to use a low-vision cane.
Right.
It's aluminum tubing.
Uh-oh.
They didn't know what to do with it, so they had to call four or five of their guys over, the supervisor over. They broke down, you know, they didn't break down the cane, but, you know, they had me folded up so they could take a look inside. And, of course, it's got a cable inside that holds it together. The woman takes off the tip while it's folded up. That cable whips through there, and it slices through anything like hot butter. Thing almost slopped her in the face. All the tubing goes everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And they started screaming that this was a, you know, this could be a weapon. And they said, well, and also, you can see a little bit. How can you be having a blank? And I said, I'm visually impaired. Well, how many? They did the worst thing you can do to a disabled person. Never whip your fingers and say, how many fingers do I got up?
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
Yeah, she actually, it turned into more of the cane and the aluminum tubing and how many fingers do I got up?
Oh, my God. It sounds like something.
I can't say anything. I've got a complaint in with ADA.
Yeah.
So, and raising hell about it. And of course, when I finally got in to go to jury duty, they immediately released me since I was not exactly in the most cooperative mood.
Yeah. Well, hey, let us know what happens with this one, will you, Joe?
It's probably going to get snowed under like everything else. I even had them threaten me, saying that if I complain about this and that and the other, that it could affect national security.
What?
Because of their screening policy, because they go by what the government, you know, how the federal government screens their stuff.
Oh, bat squeeze! Just
exactly,
Joe. I hope you pursue this, and I hope you keep us posted. This belongs on Keith Olbermann's program on MSNBC.
Well, with these people, nothing surprises me. Now, I must admit, a friend of mine works for a private contractor that does some of this stuff for the government, but at least he has common sense.
Yeah.
That if, you know, he has common sense about how to scan stuff and how stuff is done, and I guess that's the reason why they made him a supervisor. But not all of them. I'm not going to sit there and go through all of the security guard companies, just that they need more training. Some of them are good. Some of them are really awful.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got the awfulest. Hey, Joe, thanks. Seriously, keep stay in touch. Let us know what happens, all right?
You got it.
All right, pal. Take care. Oh, my God. You know, the irony would have been if that cord would have whipped out and hit the security person in the eye and made them visually impaired. Wouldn't that have been funny? Huh? Second hour of fun and frivolity begins when we return. Meanwhile, I'm going to try to slip into the Nova M members chat room. And let me see. Let me get down. I've got a dead skunk here. I'm going to take it into the room and toss it and see what happens. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. You are listening to the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. And thank you for doing that. I tend to stay away from any comments about Bill O'Reilly on Fox News Channel because I think Keith Overman successfully demolishes O'Reilly. It's like whack-a-mole. Every time O'Reilly sticks his ass in the air, Oberman is right there to smack him. But this is incredible. This came also from thinkprogress.org. A recent study by the Project for Excellence in Journalism found that in the first 3 months of this year, Fox News devoted considerably less coverage to the Iraq war than did CNN and MSNBC, but almost twice as much time to the Anna Nicole Smith story. So, the other day on his radio show, Bill O'Reilly derided the group behind the report, Project for Excellence in Journalism, as the Project for Excellence in Left-Wing Journalism. Ooh, Bill, you're just a devil, aren't you? But he said he wouldn't dispute their findings. He defended his lack of Iraq war coverage, stating that the only reason CNN and MSNBC, quote, do so much Iraq reporting is because they want to embarrass the Bush administration, end quote. He went on to say, quote, and all the reporting consists of, here's another explosion, bang, here's more people dead, bang. They're not doing it to inform anybody about anything, O'Reilly went on. The terrorists are going to set off a bomb every day because they know CNN and MSNBC are going to put it on the air. That's a strategy for the other side, the terrorist side. So I'm taking an argument that CNN and MSNBC are actually helping the terrorists by reporting useless explosions. Do you care if another bomb goes off into Crete? Does it mean anything? No, it doesn't mean anything. End quote. Oh, my God. The explosions in Iraq that don't mean anything to this piece of human waste have killed over 3,500 U.S. troops since 2003 and countless thousands upon thousands of innocent Iraqis. Journalists stationed in Iraq stress that coverage of the violence is necessary to ensure that the American public understands, if nothing else, the sacrifices made by soldiers. O'Reilly wouldn't understand that. He's a coward. He's a draft dodger. He's a whiner. He likes to sexually harass his employees. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan said, quote, when you see an American kid get shot and friends come to his aid and risk their lives and see how they live day after day, you realize it's very hard for people far away to understand just how great are the sacrifices being made, end quote. But O'Reilly wouldn't know anything about that because he's a coward and a sneak and a liar, and he likes to sexually harass his employees. CNN international correspondent Michael Ware, quote, clearly it's very hard to distill into one story the reality of life on the ground. Many of the soldiers I was with recently in Ramadiya feel that people back home are turning off to an extent. They feel they're fighting this war in a vacuum. That's where you see the true strength of these men. They continue to do their jobs professionally and bravely, end quote. But O'Reilly wouldn't understand that because he's a coward and a sneak and a liar, and he sexually harasses his employees. O'Reilly constantly claims that he supports the troops. Oh, stop it, you filthy human being. You know what that means? For O'Reilly, supporting the troops means ignoring their work and saying that the explosions killing them don't mean anything. Where do these television networks get these people like Glenn Beck and O'Reilly, and the list goes on and on. What's that other guy, the yellow haired guy on John Gibson, Nancy Grace? Where do they come up with these half humans? Where do they get these people? All right, back to your phone calls. We have a couple open lines here, and we'd like to get them filled up. 800-989-1480. I know, y'all, we came back from the break. Y'all thought, oh, there he goes again, off on one of his interminable rants. No, I'm done. Or I'm finished. 800-989-1480. Let's start with Sandra, who's calling from Berkeley, California. Hey, Sandra.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. Well, tonight I had to call because I had an experience with TSA that was really interesting, and I've thought about writing an article about it because basically I was at the clinic back from Washington, D.C. when there was a security breach, and it happened while we were on the plane. And, you know, of course, it took us hours to get off the plane, all this stuff. But basically, we got off the plane, and they were herding all the people together. And my mother, we used to say she didn't suffer fools gladly.
Right.
And I have to say I do the same. Right. I have a really logical mind. And if someone tries to tell me something illogical, I'm not going to go for it.
Right.
So basically, when I went up to people and said, what are we doing? What's going on? This is security beach. That happened after we got off. Can we leave? No, you can't leave. I said, well, I'm going to leave. Since I was not involved with this, I'm just going to walk off. They threatened to arrest me. And every single person that I tried to get information from, no one knew anything. And I spent weeks calling the airport after this and trying to get the plan from them, the security breach plan. There is no plan.
No, of course not.
And all of this is done just like you said and I've said before. It's just to get people used to being herded into these things and do what they're told. Because I don't do well in situations like that, you know?
Yeah, nor do I.
And so I wanted to say that, but I wanted to say something else that I've been trying to say on the radio for a while, and like keep getting cut off or whatever happens. But why is it, Mike, that we cannot sue the government as the American people? Why we cannot sue, number one, to have the same rights as a corporation? Since the corporation was given the same right as us in the 20s or the 30s, whenever it was, but they don't die and they don't have any responsibilities, I want to have the same rights as a corporation.
Yeah, so would I.
How do you like that?
I think it's a good idea, but there are laws against... Well, no. Now, wait a second.
Think about it for a minute.
You can sue. The Supreme Court ruled unanimously back in 1998 or 1999 that Paula Jones could go ahead with her lawsuit against Bill Clinton, even though he was a sitting president.
Right.
And his argument, his attorney's arguments, consisted mainly of this point. The executive branch of government pretty much consists of one person. It's not like the legislative branch that has hundreds or the judicial branch that has hundreds. The executive branch really gets down to one person. So Clinton's people argued, sue me when I'm finished being the chief executive of the United States of America. It went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court unanimously, that means even the so-called liberals on the court, ruled that a sitting president can be sued in a civil suit. Now, why someone hasn't sued Bush, I have no idea. Maybe there are lawsuits pending. I don't know. But you do have the right to do it, Sandra.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And why can't we have a bunch of people join in and have a group of people sue the president? And that's only the first thing I'd like to sue him for. I mean, I've got a whole list, as you know. You've got the same list. So I'm just thinking, why can we not sue these people? Why can we not sue Monsanto for making plants that only grow one season, for killing the bees, basically?
Yeah.
And then when the bees die, everyone's going to have to buy their seeds, because if you don't buy their seeds, there's not going to be anything to pollinate any of the seeds.
Well,
why can we not sue Monsanto for that?
The quick answer to why can we not sue Monsanto or any of these big corporations is we damn sure can, but the countersuit that will be filed against you or me or anyone by Monsanto, for example, or Archer Daniels Midland, or any of these companies that are just raping nature and the natural world, the reason that we don't file a suit is because they come back with a countersuit that will bankrupt you, your family, and all the way down through your great-great-grandchildren for the rest of their lives. Because
what if enough people did it? What if we had enough people?
Well, that's called a revolution.
Well, I'm not talking about revolution.
Sure,
I'm
you
just
are.
Talking about, no, I'm not. I'm just talking about getting our rights back.
Well, okay. Oh, you devil. Thanks, Sandra. I got
to
go.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
I appreciate your call. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Past the hour. AEB writes in, Happy Flag Day. Mike, when I was a kid, Flag Day, June 14th, was always noted with pride. Like everyone else, I only heard the good stories of when our flag had been raised throughout the world. I realize now our record was not spotless. It was soon enough after the World War II victory over fascism that we were still a united and proud nation. That's a far cry from today when a guy with a name that sounds like some perverted sex toy for his wife Lynn is running our nation and making it almost impossible. Dick Cheney, get it? Is running our nation and making it almost impossible to remember the good and proud times our flag has been raised internationally. Happy Flag Day from AEB. Yeah, it is a holiday, isn't it? I remember Flag Day when I was a kid. We would have a parade in downtown Toledo. Every occasion there would be a parade, every holiday. And it would always be led by union workers, the UAW, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the Machinists Union, the Teamsters Union. Those are the four big ones in when I was a kid growing up in Toledo. And there would be a big parade. Labor Day was a big parade, Flag Day, Memorial day, and, you know, the killer, 4th of July, Thanksgiving. What else? Halloween parade. And always the unions would lead it, organize it. And afterwards, at Walbridge Park, along the Maumee River, there would be a big blowout, a party, hot dogs, coleslaw, Polish hot dogs, you know, because it was Toledo, Ohio. Back to your phone calls. Frank is calling from Athens, Georgia. Hey, Frank, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. You talk about the Bush crime family.
Yes.
You need to get out the box. And we are no longer a country. We were never a country. Since day one, when our founding fathers, whoever you say they are, they've been taking us over ever since. England has never let us go. And you got 13 rural families, and you follow the money trail. Always follow the money trail. These people, this Bush crime family, they ain't nothing but puppets for the money people. They're making a power grab right now, and they fix them to set the world on fire. And when the people realize this, we have no borders. We are not a country. We are not a democracy. We have nothing anymore. And I think we're going to have to take to the streets. I don't know. I'm going crazy. What do you think?
Let me know where I'm supposed to show up, and I'll be there.
Okay. As soon as Bush and these people call martial law, we will take to the streets.
I'll be there.
Okay, Mike, that's all I have to say, and you're doing a great service to free people.
All right, thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in. It's kind of you to say that. Did I say something to piss everybody off tonight? I have three open lines again. What? The number is 800-989-1480. I'll take it back. Eric is calling from Miami. Hey, Eric, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how's everything? As far as the TSA, as far as in Miami International Airport, they're very unprofessional. Hell, there's even a couple of Cubans that hardly speak English. That's mm-hmm. how bad it is in the situation. A couple of other points, very quick. You know, I'm a recent college graduate, 24 years old. What do I do to change? You know, what can I do to change the world where what is going on? Another point, and I'll take my answers off the air, is I get my news from you. Because apparently I can't get them from Fox, CNN, or any other web. So where do you go throughout the day? What websites do you go throughout the day to get your news, the real news? And the last question would be, can you tell us who composed those songs that you guys play in your show? And I'll take my answers off the air. And thanks for everything, Mike, and God bless you.
Thanks, Eric. A, don't try to change the world. You'll go insane. That's A. B, the world can't be changed. It is what it is. If you want to change anything, and I'm not suggesting you do or should or can change yourself, websites, if you go to MikeMalloy.com and look on our links page, you'll see maybe 100 links of places where I get the news. Start with truthout.org. That's a good place to go. And the songs we play scores of songs every night, man. I don't know what to tell you. We probably should publish a song list at the end of every program, but it's too much work, and we're a two-person operation. All right! We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Reality Radio for a Rational World.
Kind of all blown by Petraeus' amusement parks in Iraq fantasy. I just want to know what an Iraqi amusement park looks like. I have to see the Ferris wheel.
Well, somebody sent me a Google Earth, and I forwarded it on to you. If you look in your email, there's a picture of what the one Iraqi amusement park looks like.
It's called Death World?
No, it's... Eleanor writes in about parades. She says, there are no parades. Oh, God. Eleanor writes in about parades, and she says there are no parades anymore because there's no community anymore, no natural places for people to fall together and meet, and then to spark revolution. And the reason you have some open phone lines tonight is because we're all busy taking our 6 or 10 grams of fish oil to prevent cardiac arrest and cerebral stroke, because we need a parade to go to, Eleanor. What was the parade we took Molly to? Was that Memorial Day parade? Downtown Atlanta? Remember, it was chilly that day? Molly loves a parade. I used to love parades when I was a kid. Oh, my God. And my mother used to take me to all these parades. My mother was a member of the Restaurant Workers Union because she was a waitress for like 30 years. Back in the day when you went to work as a waitress and stayed at the same place forever. But because she was a member of the Restaurant Workers Union, whatever it was called, we always got free food. I forgot to mention that last part. When you went to the cookout afterward, you know, you got free food if you show your union card. You know, if you didn't have a union card, well. But everybody who worked in Toledo had a union card, so go figure. Back to your phone calls. Now there are no open lines. Everybody took their fish oil. Jen is calling from Sacramento, California. Hey, Jen.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm so glad to finally talk to you. The last time I talked to you, I was high-pitched, and you said I needed to breathe. And then I lost you, so it's a pleasure to hear your voice on the radio again.
Well, thanks. That's very kind.
Yeah, the first comment that I'd like to make is, can you imagine how much money we would save as a country if we could get rid of everybody in the Congress and in the White House? I mean, it's just outrageous. All of them are playing bad cop, good cop, and they're all in it together. And our people are dying, and they are sitting behind, as far as I'm concerned, a glass wall laughing at us and drinking and smoking their stogies or whatever.
It does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it?
It really does, and it's just so frustrating. And, you know, to be honest with you, I in my heart, I mean, I'm there to support the troops for their placing their lives on the line and often dying. But I just want to almost leave this country, just pack up, take my child, and just get out of here because it's too much. You know, it's just too much.
I know.
So, anyway, I just want to say it is so wonderful to hear your voice and to know that you're out there and saying what I'd like to say every day, all day long, and I just really appreciate it. And I'm sure everybody that listens to you appreciates it. You asked the question just a few moments ago, did you piss everybody off? And I think the question is no. We're all kind of like in just dumbfounded silence as what can we do? You know, it's crazy. It is so crazy.
I know. I can remember not so long ago, Jen. Well, I guess it was maybe 10 years ago, when the program I used to do on talk radio, maybe some people still do it this way, but the program I used to do on talk radio used to include more than just talking about the corrupt administration or whatever war we were involved in. There was, you know, when we worked in Chicago. And Kathy was going to college at night, and she would come and pick me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and she would say, "Oh my God!" During the break, between her classes, she said, "Listen to you for half an hour. Oh, you were so funny. Oh God, that was so much fun. Oh, I laughed and laughed and laughed." And that doesn't happen anymore.
No, we're not laughing.
No.
We're crying. It's so awful. And I mean, I don't have children old enough to be in the service. But I have to be honest with you, if I did, I would fight tooth and nail to not let him or her go. I wouldn't.
I hear
because
you.
It's just I couldn't bear it. I just couldn't bear it. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, somebody has to go out in the street and say, look, you know, we've had enough of you guys. All of you are out. Take the dog, the cat, the bird, everybody. Just got to go. And just try to take our country back.
I hear you, Jen. I hear you.
It's
coming. Trust me, it's coming, okay?
I hope so. Well, thank you so much.
All right,
and
Jen.
Kiss Molly for me.
I'll do it. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks for checking in. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. You all remember Mohammed Al-Baradi, the head of the UN Nuclear Watchdog Organization, IAEA, the one that Bush always calls the EAIOU or AEIOU. He always screws it up. but the International Atomic Energy Agency, he said today that an attack against Iran, which is what the U.S. and Israel are planning, would be, quote, an act of madness, end quote. I remember al-Baradei was the man who said there are no nuclear, he was one of many, who said there are no nuclear weapons in, there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They don't exist. There's no nuclear program. There's no chemical weapons program. There's no biological weapons program. Scott Ritter, conservative, Republican, ex-Marine, former Marine, who also was one of the inspectors for the United States, said the same thing. There's nothing there. Nothing. But al-Baradei told reporters at the end of a meeting of the IAEA's 35 nation members in Vienna today, he said, quote, if we go the way we are heading, I can see that we will be heading toward confrontation, end quote. He goes on to say, quote, even if the idea of people talking about using force, or even the idea of people talking about using force, it would be catastrophic. It would be an act of madness, and it would not solve the issue, end quote. That is from the Al Jazeera website. If you haven't gone there, it's a very interesting website for international global news. It's english.aljazeera.net, english.aljazeera.net. And that's one of the sites I visit on a regular basis because their reporting is certainly different from the reporting in the West. Douglas? Yeah, Douglas is calling from Sacramento. Hey, Douglas, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
One thing, I got a good laugh off your show the other night.
You did?
When Joe was on.
Yeah.
He came on right after you had that quote from our bushwhacker-in-chief about people in bubbles.
Yeah.
And then Joe came on with a totally bubblicious speech about how you were racist or some such. And I just laughed till I cried.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good. That's good. I think what I meant, though, was, you know, back in the day, 7-8 years ago, when
you could do it on purpose. I know what you
mean. Yeah, we would talk about stuff that was just funny. It was just funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I miss that. You know, slice of life stuff,
mm-hmm.
Stuff that people, funny stuff in the news. And I can't, for some reason, bring myself to do that anymore. I feel like a phony if I do it.
Yeah, it's like this transportation security agency or whatever it was.
Yeah, the sippy cup story.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate them hiring mental defectives, but I think they're giving us a bad name with the ones they pick. And I'm scared to go anyplace nowadays because I'm scared they'll see recruiting posters up for people in my condition.
Yeah.
The brown shirts want you, you know.
Really? Come and join the TSA brown shirts, make $8 an hour, and be able to tell a woman with a 19-month-old that she may be arrested because she's got water in her kid's sippy cup. Oh, yeah.
Remember your Mr. Wizard story? You were talking about discovery learning?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big divide in the country between people who want to learn how to do something and people who want to be told.
I think you're right.
And that's... I wish I could make that funny. That just it shuts me down.
It's not funny. All right, Doug, thanks. All right, appreciate you checking in, Val. Thanks a lot. Yeah, discovery learning. The Republicans are not into that. Religious conservatives are not into that. The worst in terms of religious conservatives, of course, are Muslims. They just, I don't get these people. I never try to understand the religious mind because, I got my feet wet in that when I was a kid growing up. And to me, it's just utter madness. But every time you turn on the news or pick up a news report, you hear about another young woman who is entrapped in some Muslim psycho ward, i.e. her family. And she's being stoned to death or strangled with a shoelace because she just wants to live her life. Oh, my God.
Pretty bad. Huh. Everyone's stiff. Dialogue so sad.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It is 10 before the hour. Let's go to Steve, who is calling from Hollister, California. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, good. How you doing, Mike? First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, welcome aboard. Thank you.
The reason I'm calling tonight is I heard about 3 weeks ago on the Stephanie Miller show that there's a scheduled event that Dick Cheney's running with NORAD July 3rd. And what the event is supposedly a nuclear attack on the Chesapeake Bay, supposed to take out Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. And the retaliation is supposed to be a nuke strike on Iran. And the command center is out of Denver, Colorado.
Now,
on the computer.
Now, where did you hear this?
On Stephanie Miller's show, Jim Ward was talking about it.
Now, you know Stephanie Miller is a comedian.
Yes.
Okay.
Jim Ward, they call him the voice monkey. He does a lot of computer studies, and he's saying they have the scheduled event with NORAD.
Now, all right, now listen up. What do they call Jim Ward?
The voice monkey. Yeah,
not
all his life is serious.
Now, why do you think, Steve, they call him the voice monkey?
Well, he does impersonations of George Bush and Ronald Reagan, and
right.
He does impersonations of everybody.
Okay.
But on the side, he studies the internet, and he said this event is scheduled for July 3rd.
Okay.
Regardless of what you think, it's scheduled to happen July 3rd.
Dick Cheney is going to launch nukes into the Chesapeake Bay.
No. Now, this is what they're saying. It's supposed to be a mock drill. Terrorists are supposed to bring in a nuke on a boat, a dirty bomb. It blows up in the Chesapeake Bay, whether it kills 10 people or a million people.
Right.
This event is supposed to take place like a 9/11 type event.
Yeah.
With NORAD. Then the retaliation is supposed to be we nuke Iran.
So
in retaliation.
So now what does Cheney have to do with this?
He is supposed to be with NORAD July 3rd and do this event. It's supposed to be a drill, just like they did 9/11 was a drill with NORAD.
Right.
You know, he told these people to stand down, and, it's the same scenario.
All right, maybe since I am unfamiliar with that particular Stephanie Miller program and what the voice monkey did, and I'm also unfamiliar with the plan, I have a suggestion, Steve. Maybe what you ought to do, and I mean this sincerely, is to call Stephanie's program tomorrow morning and just say, hey, what were you guys talking about? And see what kind of an answer Steph gives you.
Oh, I know. It's hard to get through. I've tried to. I got in with you easier than I ever. I tried calling her, and
Well, it's easier to get in to this program because we have six lines. Stephanie only has one.
No,
I'm just kidding.
All right.
Well, just keep put it on speed dial. Find out, and then report back to me.
Well, there's supposedly it's supposed to be a blame game on.
I know. Yep.
We're supposed to blame
them
again.
All right. Well, I've got the outline. You're very good at giving me the outline. Now I need you to check your sources, and your source is the voice monkey. So call Stephanie's program tomorrow. Don't let the weekend go by, please. And then call me tomorrow night and let me and our audience know what you found out, please.
But, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Stephanie, see, I'm a truck driver. Stephanie's show, when I listen at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they're right. talking about stuff in the morning. It's like it's pre-recorded, and I called 3 weeks.
Oh, you listen. Yeah, you listen to the rebroadcast.
So when I call them, when am I supposed to call them?
Uh-oh, we've got a problem.
See, I'm on the West Coast. I have no idea what time to call them.
Yeah, well, she's on the West Coast, too. She's on from 6 till 9, or 9 till, not, 9 till 9 till noon Eastern time, which is, no, 9 to noon West Coast time, I think.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe you can send an email.
I can't do that. I ain't got a computer.
I'll tell you what.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Stephanie and I are supposed to be on the same stage in Seattle on the 14th of July. You're saying this is going to go off on the 3rd of July.
Yes, it's supposed to be the 3rd of July.
Okay, well, as far as I know, Stephanie has not canceled the gig on the 14th. Put together by KPTK in Seattle. We're all going to be, four or five of us are going to be there along with the audience, the live audience, and it's going to be live web streamed, live video web streaming. So I haven't talked with Steph for a while. Maybe I ought to call her and just say, what is this story? Because I haven't heard anything about it.
I know. It's only been mentioned one time, and that was Jim Ward one night. He got real serious about it. And Stephanie likes to have fun and all. She kind of dismissed it and thought that's a terrible thing. And then they all went on with the show, and nothing has been said ever since. I mean, if I had knowledge like that and had a computer myself, I'd be calling my mother, my uncle, my brother,
everybody
I could. Well, I told my mother I'm going to call the Coast Guard. Chesapeake Coast Guard, July.
Now wait, Steve. Don't be calling the Coast Guard and say you heard about a plot, because they'll come and arrest you.
No, I know. I was thinking about that, but you know what? Somebody's got. You know.
Let Stephanie do it.
Word out.
Let Jim Ward do it. Let the voice monkey do it.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah. Don't call anybody now and say I heard there's a plot to bring in a dirty bum, because Steve, the next call then. That you make will be to your lawyer trying to get you out of Guantanamo. So
I know they'll be blaming me for it. They'll put the blame on me.
There you go.
And
all
Dick
right.
Cheney will be pissed off because I squandered his glory.
All right, Steve, I'll try to check it out for you. I'll give Stephanie a call. I've got her secret phone number, okay? Steve? He's gone. They snatched him already. See? I'm telling you. All right, NOVAM founding members, go to live chat at novamradio.com. I'm going to duck in there as soon as I go get a glass of wine. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVAM Radio Network. Past the hour. Got an email here from Waamia, and it's all in the subject line. We got to be tough. No wimps allowed. Nuke Russia. Oh my God! I just spent an eternity in the NovaM radio.com chat room. Good God! It's madness in there. Madness. And apparently Billy is running some kind of little. Contests. What's he giving away? Do you have any idea what he's giving away, Kathy? Huh?
I believe it's free tickets to the Baghdad amusement park. Season passes, so you can play whack-a-mole and dodge an IED.
Boy, we have a cynical producer tonight. No, it's great fun at the NovamRadio.com chat room. If you haven't been in there and you are a founding member, go check it out if you can stand it. Good God, you talk about 90 miles an hour traffic in there. Oh, well. And it's international, too. There are folks in there who are not from America. Think about that for a second. All right, let's go back to your phone calls real quick. Who we got? Susan. Susan is calling from San Diego. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
Good to talk with you.
My pleasure.
I wanted to talk about something that's been very concerning. This morning I heard on Bill Press' show, the morning show that he has, that he thinks that John Edwards should just drop out of the race because he's so far behind Hillary Clinton that there's not even been any point of him running anymore. Now, in my opinion, Hillary Clinton is the worst candidate that the Democrats could be putting up there. I don't think she really stands for my belief system. She's never really said anything that she's sorry for voting for the war. And honestly, what's even, to me, more depressing than having to have put up with 8 years of this president is the Democrats put Hillary in as our candidate. I am quitting the Democratic Party. There's no point.
Yeah, I'm not ready for a Hillary Clinton presidency either. Not at all. As far as what Bill Press said, I don't know. You know, Dennis Kucinich in the race in 2004 and Al Sharpton, Reverend Al, they stuck around almost to the bitter end. So I don't necessarily agree that Edwards should drop out because he's not doing so well in the polls. And I certainly respect Bill Press. I mean, I really do. I don't know what Bill's point was, but no, I wouldn't advocate anybody dropping out right now unless it would be the 10 squeegee men who are trying to get elected in the Republican Party. They
right.
have no business running for anything.
Right. Do you ever hear, though, that they say that the polls, that she's the front runner? What are these polls that they're taking? Who are they polling? And I'd like to see the polling question.
I know.
They never say that. They say the polls show that she's the front runner.
I know.
Who's doing these polls? You know?
I have no.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I have no idea. I don't know. Some little gnomes that live under rocks out in upstate Washington. I have no idea.
No. Well, I'm
as mystified by it, Susan, as
no,
you are.
I have an idea. I can tell you what the idea is, that she's got a lot of money and she probably gets people to go on television and say that she's the front runner because she does have a lot of money. And I guess she will probably win the nomination if we're basing it on money. You know, she probably will win it because she has the most out of all the candidates. And if that's what we're going to elect our presidents on, then I guess you're right. Democracy is over in this country.
Well, there's one hope. You know, when I say the experiment has failed, it has. It's the whole thing is on life support right now.
I agree.
And arguably, Hillary Clinton nomination would pull the plug completely. But there's one hope, and I've come around. I've done a complete 180 on this. And to me, the one hope is Al Gore. The reason I say Al Gore, I'd like to say Dennis Kucinich, but Dennis Kucinich has as much chance of winning the presidency as I do. I would hope that Al Gore, when he is elected president for the second time, that he'll actually take the office and that he would find a place for Mike Gravel and Dennis Kucinich in his cabinet. I think Dennis Kucinich ought to be put in charge of the Department of Peace that he's been talking about. I think Mike Gravel possibly would make a great Secretary of State. But I keep holding out for Al Gore. Now, a lot of people say, Malloy, you're crazier than a loon. Al Gore was one of the founders of the Democratic leadership, the DLC. And yes, I know he was, but that was 25 years ago, 28 years ago. Sam Nunn, who was a senator from Georgia here, Bill Clinton, the governor of Arkansas, Al Gore, senator from Tennessee, and there were more. There were eight or nine of them, white male Southerners who realized that the Democratic Party in the South was going to die unless they got more conservative. Well, the Democratic Party in the South is dead. And I think what Al Gore learned from that experience is that it was a bad idea to begin with. If you're a Democrat, then by God, you're a Democrat. And if you try to turn yourself into Republican light, you are going to die, which is exactly what happened to the Democratic Party in the South. It simply doesn't exist anymore. Sure, there are state Democratic parties. We have some good friends here in the state of Georgia who still run the Democrat, who work with the Democratic Party in the state of Georgia. But as far as a political viable entity, the Democratic Party is dead in the South. It just is. So, based on all that, I think Al Gore realized that he had made a horrendous mistake. At the time, it seemed like the thing to do. How many times have I said that in my life? How many times have you said that, Susan? Well, at the time, it, whatever it was, seemed like the thing to do. And then in retrospect, we look back and say, oh, my God, how could I have done that? And I think that's what's happened to Al Gore. So to the people who email me and say, your support of Al Gore is insane. He brought us NAFTA. He brought us GATT. He did this. He did that. I don't deny any of that. Al Gore was part of the Clinton administration for 8 years. And prior to that, he was a Southern white male senator who was the founder of the DLC. But that was then. This is now, and I think Al Gore has had his conversion on the road to Damascus, to use a biblical reference, and that's why I'm holding out for Al Gore.
Right, and I would agree with you. If it came down to Hillary or Al Gore, I would want Al Gore a trillion times over her.
I hear you.
And let me close on one thing. I just want to say you are the best talk show host on all the airwaves. Every night, and you are the best.
You're only saying that because it's true.
No, it's true. It is true.
Thanks, Susan.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate it. All right, take care. Take care. I mean that about Al Gore, and that always every time I start touting Al Gore, which I don't very often because he's not a candidate yet. But I have this vision of the Democratic primary The primary season, all the votes when this fake primary season finally explodes, which it's going to do in a few months, and all the primaries are held around the country, and it's going to be very close and yada 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 between a couple of candidates. I really do believe. And I think Al Gore is going to at that time. Declare himself a candidate. And, of course, he will immediately get the undying enmity from the Clintons. But screw him. You know, we don't need, we simply do not need another Republican light. And Hillary Clinton is Republican light. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. You know, there was talk about having her on this program. She would no more come on this program now than she would try to strike a match on a wet cake of soap. She just wouldn't do it because of the things I've said. And all I've said is she is not a liberal. She is not progressive. I cut something out of it was a letter to the editor out of Mother Jones a couple of months ago. It was written by a woman named Lisa in Wadi, Kentucky, and it says this is in response to a lengthy article they had in Mother Jones about it was sympathetic to Hillary, and the bottom line was people didn't like her because of all sorts of dark, nefarious reasons. Lisa, Wadi, Kentucky, writes in, forget what Hillary says and what other people say about her. Look at her voting record. Pro-war? Check. Pro-tax cuts? Check. Pro-torture? Check. Pro-corporations? Check. Anti-choice? Check. Anti-privacy rights? Check. Anti-gay marriage? Check. Anti-immigrants? Check. Anti-working class? Check. Anti-unions? Check. Anti-environment? Check. That's why true progressives hate her. The hour, Claudia in Kentucky writes, Mike, my 21-year-old asked me recently who gets to vote in the primaries, and I honestly couldn't answer. Is it only the Democrats in that state or all Democrats in all states? Please devote a moment to this, as I bet there are others newly politically aware who also don't know. It depends on the state. Here in Georgia, when there is a, say, a Democratic primary, you can anybody can vote in the Democratic primary. Republicans, Democrats, independents, it doesn't make any difference. That's how Cynthia McKinney got defeated in both primaries. People crossed over from the Republican Party and voted against her, voted for her opponent. However, here in Georgia, if you vote Democratic in the Democratic primary, then in the general election, you also have to vote Democratic. You kind of make your choice, no matter what party you really, you know, believe in. If you cross over and vote in the other party's primary, then you're stuck. You either have to vote in the general election in the same party or stay home. But it varies. It varies state to state. So as far as Kentucky, I don't know how your state laws are set up. That's one of the reasons real progressives are asking for nationalized or federalized election laws where it concerns elections like primaries and general elections for the presidency. There should not be this sort of disparity in how people are selected, how people vote. So in the states that allow crossover voting, and I'm not sure how many they are, I just know that I live in one of those sump-hole states. You know, Georgia is the least progressive state in so many ways in the union. And part of this is designed to, first of all, to keep our dark brothers and sisters from voting. That still exists here in much of the South, but especially here in Georgia. It's also designed to be so confusing as to keep most people from voting, whether they're black or white. It doesn't matter. So that the people who control the power, which is now the Republicans, can control the power. Or something. I don't know. I'm sorry, Claudia. I wish I could give you just an excellent answer, but I don't have any. All I have are questions. All right, back to your calls. Steve is calling from Santa Rosa, California. Steve in Santa Rosa, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing fine.
Great. Hey, a little clarification on Steve from Hollister and Stephanie Miller show.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Jim Ward once in a while has a little thing they do called the Conspiracy Corner.
Uh-huh.
Where she talks to Jim, and he, like Steve said, he's pretty much up on the conspiracy theories, but I heard that particular show as well.
And so he's reporting it like tongue in cheek.
No, he's serious when he's a conspiracy theorist.
Uh-huh. Well, so am I, for that matter.
Yeah, so am I, as that right. for that matter.
Right.
But yeah, I heard the same show, and that's basically what it was. He was stating the latest. Conspiracy theory that has come across the boards.
Oh,
and
wow.
If it's true, it's kind of scary, you know, because they have used these tactics before, I think.
Yeah, yeah. You well, I certainly don't disagree. I just wonder if Stephanie's sidekick is, her program is on way too early in the morning for
yeah,
me to listen
to. Yeah, 6 to 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
On the West Coast.
Right. And we don't. The only way I could listen to it would be to web stream it because
yeah.
we don't have any Air America or Nova M station here in Atlanta. It's not allowed
yeah.
because it's too liberal sounding.
Yeah.
So the only time I get to chat with Stephanie is when we get together at these gigs, like we were in Phoenix. Now we're going to be in Seattle and yada yada yada.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask her. I've got to ask her about her cohorts. Now I saw when she did the MSNBC thing after Imus got fired when she was on MSNBC for 3 days. That was the first time I saw her two in studio cohorts, the two guys
yeah.
two guys that work with her.
Yeah.
And I had never seen them before because when she travels, she just travels by herself the same way as I do. And but I'm going to ask her about that. Just
yeah.
how valid are the claims made by yeah. by what's his name?
Jim Ward.
Jim Ward. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
And there's one other thing, too, that I wanted to talk to you about. Last night I was watching Democracy Now with Amy Goodwin.
Yeah.
And she was talking with actress Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah.
And she made very brief reference to a British journalist that had recently been arrested for uncovering a document, a classified document, implicating the Baum brothers, the Bush and Blair, the B brothers, in the bombing of Al Jazeera in Qatar. And I was just wondering maybe if you'd heard anything like that.
Yeah, I had heard about that several months back. A couple of people sent me emails, which I read, and I just thought, if somebody would send me a link to where the story comes from, it would be easier for me to form an opinion about. But yeah, I have heard about that. I'll go to Amy Goodman's website and see what's there. Yeah. Hey, Steve, I got to leave you there. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, pal. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Made the man with a few votes win. Congratulations, George. Well, it's all bought and paid for. The history books will have to write you in. Well, maybe you can pass a law so the rest of us can all see how the man...
For Radical Talk Radio, make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio.
26 before the hour. All right, the results are in here. Tonight's winners of chat trivia in the Nova M Founders Club chat room run by Nova M Radio Network CIO Billy Foster. There are three winners. The first hour, the winner was Rock Rizzo. The second hour was Mad Dog. And the third hour was Fade the Blues. Mad Dog? Oh, my God. I don't know what they won, but they won something. All right? Trivia quiz. So now they're giving away prizes in the chat room. Wow. What do we give away? We don't give away a damn thing, do we?
Again, I would be more than happy to donate season passes to Wonder World over Baghdad.
Stop.
Bombs over Baghdad.
Stop.
Or what bullets over to
Broadway,
Crete, whatever
no, stop,
they call it.
Stop. That's so sad. That's so sad.
Well, McCain would like to go. Petraeus thinks it's a fun place.
Oh, my yeah. God. I know.
I wonder if they make the cotton candy out of real spun glass there.
Executive producer, very hostile tonight. Very hostile, very cynical.
Well, there's something wrong with Petraeus. I mean, I'm really scared. I used to kind of think that, like Gates, he might have a normal bone in his body or something, you know, that there might be some person in Iraq that actually didn't have rose-colored glasses on, and then he comes out and talks about amusement parks and soccer fields.
Thank God executive producer has 3-year-old. Which always drags executive producer back from the brink of insanity. No, you are. You are exceptionally cynical tonight, Catherine, which is okay. I mean, anyone who's not cynical, at least, at the very least, marginally cynical with what's going on is someone who is perpetually stoned. Anyway, once again, tonight's winners of chat trivia. First hour, Rock Rizzo. Second hour, Mad Dog 420. Third hour, Fade to Blues. All right, all right. Billy Foster, the CIO of Nova M Radio, who came up with that idea. Back to your phone calls. For those of us who are not in the chat room, let's get back to the important business out here in the real world. That chat room is a lot of fun, but it moves way too fast for the kid. Steve is calling from Illinois. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? It's a great honor to speak to you, and I really appreciate your service to our country. I consider you basically a general in this fight, and I look up to you a great deal when I listen to you. You know, it's just...
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Steve, but I'm a private or maybe a PFC, but that's about it, pal.
Well, you know, when you say things like, you know, well, you don't say this much anymore since you've given up the swearing, but when you used to say things like the degenerate bastards and the Bush crime family, well, you still say Bush crime family.
Right, right.
But I truly appreciate it. I don't think those things are overboards, and, you know, I think that pretty much hits the nail right on the head. And
yeah, well, I still say that. I've just given up on the GDs
you know,
and the SOBs and some of the stronger stuff.
Yeah, you want to keep the blood pressure kind of regulated, you know. But
right.
I just had a couple of points to touch on. You know, one show that I think almost psychologically illustrates the psychology of the right and of all these neocons and Christian wackos and all these people running amok in our country is when you have this show on that has the kids showcased, you know, the, what is it, 8 to 13-year-olds or whatever, or 16?
The show I do?
Yeah, the kids.
Youth Night, 13 to 17-year-olds, right.
13 to 17, right. Couldn't get the numbers right there. But, you know, when you listen to these kids, okay, it just harkens back to that saying, I think it's either from the Constitution or from Martin Luther King, but all men are endowed I'm totally fumbling my words, but...
I understand where you're going.
All men are created equal, all men are endowed with truth and inalienable rights and things like this. And when you listen to children... You know, I've got a six-year-old daughter, too, and she says the most fascinating things, you know, as far as speaking the truth, you know, truth-seeking type of wisdom. And it doesn't, you know, it's not on stage, she's not posed, you know, there's no script, and it just flows out of her. And you have to look at that and say, you know, hey, the truth, and this is what you do, when you say, you know, truth-seekers, this all points towards spirit, okay, truth. Mm-hmm. Now, the people on the other side, okay, let's look at them.
Yeah.
They if anyone is evil today, okay, it is these folks.
I hear you.
They are under the influence of something dark.
That's
because
right.
They live, everything that comes out of their mouth, their filthy, degenerate mouth, you know, quote unquote, a lot of it, not everything, but I'd say 85% of it is falsehood. Double truths, double talk.
Yep.
And you know, when you listen to these children, though, that you put on, okay, this is the proof right there. That is the proof, you know?
And did you ever notice something, Steve? Whenever I do Youth Night, and I've done it maybe five times in my entire radio career, but every time I've done it, we never, not once, not ever, have I gotten a kid 13 to 17 who is would be considered a conservative kid or a kid trying to tout the right wing nonsense in this country? Every single kid who has ever called in to that program have been kids who, if you had to define their politics, which I kind of choose, I don't want to do that because I agree with you. I think it's just honesty. But if you had to define their politics, it would be liberal or progressive. And these are kids.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that always amazes me. We've never had a kid with a conservative or right wing or neo-Nazi point of view call in.
It's not natural, is it?
No.
When you look at their side, it doesn't speak of nature. It doesn't speak of anything natural. It speaks of cyborg, cybernetic, this type of, like, you're watching some evil science fiction movie almost.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, the second point I wanted to bring up, I know I've just been rambling, but the second point I wanted to bring up, and it falls in that vein, though, it's when you look at these people and you listen to them, okay, you can see almost they're inside a plastic bubble and they've got a little feeding tube going in there and a little, and it's the feeding tube is money. And, you know, you can see their isolation and you can just feel their frustration and their passive aggressive anger and their repression, you know, and they're just flowing with depression and repression and all the pressions, you know. oppressions you can think about.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right. Oppression, you know? Depression, suppression.
I
know exactly what you mean.
I mean, I want to get on a big rant here, but I think it's basically because isolation, like I drive a truck all over the country, okay?
Right.
When I'm down south, you know, I see all the I Love Bush bumper stickers, Bush is a God bumper stickers, you know, and all that stuff. And I say to myself, you know, how can this 29%er still be driving around with one of those damn stickers on his bumper? And I ask myself, and the answer seems to be, well, when you grow up in isolation and you continue your isolation by watching Fox News and crap like that, okay, and when your education is poor...
It eats holes in your brain.
It's unbelievable. It's like pockets of isolation in this country.
I hear you. I hear you. Steve, I got to leave it there. I'm flat out of time, Steve. All right? We'll talk again. Thanks for checking out. I didn't mean to cut you off, pal, but I want to get some more folks on here before we call it a night. Mina is calling from Nebraska. Hey, Mina, welcome to the program.
Hi. Good to talk to you, Mike. We're so glad to have you back on.
Thank you.
I'd like to tell you what our peace group did. 6 or 7 of us from the peace group went to the editor of our regional newspaper,
uh-huh.
who every Saturday had a retired major writing how wonderful the war was and how great Bush is. And we said, we'd like to have you present another point of view.
Uh-huh.
And he said, where have you been? So biweekly now, we call ourselves Central Nebraska Concerned Citizens. We have an email address, and bimonthly, we are writing articles pro-peace,
undocumented
immigrants.
You want to put out your email address
and
brace yourself for hate mail, but if you want to put it out, let's do it.
We're waiting for it.
All right.
It's CNCC.
C-N.
C as in Concerned Central Nebraska Concerned Citizens, CNCC.
CNCC.
At cornhusker.net.
At cornhusker.net.
You bet.
Okay. And now that's where people email you what? Anything they want to.
Absolutely.
CNCC.
Uh-huh.
CNCC at cornhusker.net.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see if you get some response.
Well, and other peace activists might want to try this. We were so surprised how receptive the paper was.
That is, was that a big city paper or small?
Well, it's the Grand Island Daily Independent, and it serves all of central Nebraska,
yeah.
Nebraska's third largest city.
Right. Well, Grand Island is not Podunk, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, that's a great idea. CNCC at cornhusker.net for people who want to write to Mina. That's a good idea. Thanks, Mina, for checking in.
Thank you.
All right, you take care.
You too.
I got an email here from Eric in San Francisco. I think it concerns the first Steve the Truck Driver. We've had several Steve the Truck Drivers tonight. Stephanie Miller's show is on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Coast time. That would be 9 to noon Eastern time. And her phone number is 1-800-STEPH, S-E-T-P-H, 1-800-STEPH-12. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's
about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the usual crew for putting the program tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered at KPHX in Phoenix, our flagship station. He also answered your calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Billy Foster, the moderator at the NovaMradio.com chat room. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. And Catherine Bay, the executive producer of this program, who is solely responsible for its content. Back to your phone calls. Larry is calling from Phoenix. Larry, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks for having your show. I really appreciate everything you do. I wanted to call in to contribute a little bit to what the answers are people could do.
All right.
And for one thing is they just go anywhere where there's a counter that people sit at, where people could talk to each other and just talk about everything, especially on the weekends, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, at places like Denny's, the Waffle House and stuff. People are all crowded in there, and if there's a counter, then people will talk. So it may as well go where we can talk and contact people, not just on the internet, but out right out in the middle of everybody, right in front of God and everybody.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And if they don't know what to talk about, they could read some books like the one called Defrauding America. It talks about the Bush family just robbing the SNLs. That's a good place to start.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
That was all I called in to say. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it. Alan is calling from Miami. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening.
Hi.
Just want to say, I know it's hard to keep keep one's chin up at times like this and so forth. But when you say, you know, well, it's not about trying to go out and save the world, try and, you know, change yourself and all that. I think the two things go hand in hand, actually.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
It helps if you have a vision of what a saved world looks like. It certainly helps you take the first step today in which direction you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work in that direction. Not everybody has given up hope and has just said, for example, won't put on more bumper stickers if they tear them off. I heard that the other night. I just came back from a conference this past week, and I don't know how many people know about it. There was a conference in Washington with all sorts of people talking about energy policy, healthcare policy, economics. It was called Taming the Corporation, the Giant Corporation.
Uh-huh.
And specialists from all over the country came together to discuss different ways the groups are trying to work at this problem piece by piece. Problem is, some of the questions that remain is how we get together on all of this. But there is concern about things like this. There were people like, I don't know if you know Russell Mokyber.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really a courageous guy. He's the guy who would stand up in the White House press corps and actually ask real questions. I mean,
that's right. That's
he's
right.
A national hero as far as I'm concerned. The speech that he gave happens to be on commondreams.org. There's another place to go to.
Yeah, I had printed it off last night and also had mentioned it to people that they could go to check it out themselves. Because I used to quote Russell from the newsletter that he did with his partner, and I forget the other guy's name. The newsletter that they put out about corporate crime. And I don't know why I've gotten away from quoting Mokyber. I need to get back to it because he's absolutely an honest man and an excellent, excellent investigative reporter.
I was lucky to meet him. If there's still enough time, I mentioned a couple of these topics they talked about. For example, displacing corporations, expanding the common,
mm-hmm.
alternative institutions and people's priorities, and reasserting the people's control. Dennis Kucinich was there, Ralph Nader was there, all kinds of people. They had representatives of Co-op America
Let me ask you, Alan, how much coverage did this get in mainstream media, or for that matter, on cable, like CNN,
MSNBC? Well, that's
MSNBC.
One of the problems. They had a great guy there who was speaking about alternative media and local media things we ought to try to do. The whole event ended with a one-hour interview, a live interview, which was broadcast, as far as I know, live or taped, Amy Goodman interviewing Ralph Nader, and it was mind-blowing.
I'll bet it was. But Amy Goodman, some will argue with me about this, but Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, is not mainstream media.
That's true. I know. I'm not saying that your question is correct, but there are ideas that are floating around. I mean, groups who left the Memphis conference are around in the country trying mm-hmm. to figure out different ways of doing it. I think what people really ought to do, and I mean, I have an idea. I've been trying to sell it to some folks, the concept of since the idea is to take people from where they already are, where their eyes and ears already are in the traditional media, mm-hmm. get some money together to put in advertisements, little things here and there, to tell them where to go to get real news, the alternative
yeah.
media.
Yeah.
You're not going to find them otherwise.
That's true. Well, that's part of what I think every progressive or liberal talk show host should be doing. Hey, I've got to leave it there. Alan, thank you. I appreciate you checking in. We'll talk again, Todd.
Bye.
All right, take care. And thank you, Truth Seeker, for contributing to the program tonight, however you did that, even if it's just listening. I appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night. We have a guest tomorrow night, the producer and the writer, director of My Country, My Country. She's going to be an interesting conversation. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.